Good morning. I want to talk to you today about Friends. No, not the TV show. Last Sunday, we celebrated the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. In preparation for that, Peg asked us to read the gospel accounts of the suffering, death, and resurrection. I came across a section of scripture that I've read, many times, maybe hundreds of times. But this time it lit up to me. It's in John, Gospel of John, chapter 15. In John 15, and in verse 13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Well, I don't know about you, but when I hear the word friend, a lot goes through my mind. One reason a lot goes through my mind is because I've always wanted a really great BFF friend. Because of my past experience, the word friend is filtered, it's colored. In some cases, it's even skewed. Certainly, Hollywood has been programming our minds for years with their idea of friendship and what it looks like. Images like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, which is one of my personal favorites. There's Abbott and Costello, Bob Hope and Bing Crosby, Lucy and Ethel. Oh, I guess I'm really telling you my age then, huh? And I'm sure you all have a TV show or movie that portrays a friendly relationship, the kind that you like. Well, there are good friends, there are dear friends, there are best friends, and now the new, as I said earlier, best friends forever. Well, let's unpack these verses a little bit more. It says in John 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend." What really jumped out to me was Jesus calling me a friend. As I said, I've kind of struggled with the idea of a friend, what it really means. Well, would Monica lay down her life for Phoebe? No. I said I didn't want to talk about the TV show. Here we see Jesus laying down his life for his friends. When I think about what kind of friend that would be that would lay down his life, I'm sure some of you have had friends like that. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." This is a familiar section of scripture, especially at the time of the year. But we look at that. He was wounded for our transgressions, paid the price for our sins, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. All of the things that would keep us from having the kind of relationship that our Father wants us to have with him and with our Lord and Savior, Jesus dealt with on Calvary. He dealt with it through the sufferings he endured, culminating in his death on Calvary, and then the resurrection. All have been handled. By his stripes we are healed, and we know it. The New Testament, by his stripes we were healed, past tense. He laid down his life for his friends. Turn to Romans chapter 5, please. In Romans chapter 5, it says, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commands his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This section of scripture has always really blessed me, because I don't have to earn God's love. And so much of my life has been about trying to earn a relationship with someone. You know, the idea of unconditional love is, well, that's a God love. And seldom is it manifested or seen outside of a believer walking in agape love. But in light of this, "greater love hath no man than the man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus Christ laid down his life when we were totally unworthy of that. Now, I have my first friend was my sister. And we were really close. Like I said, I've shared with you in the past that we grew up, even though we were 14 months apart, we grew up almost like twins. We were inseparable for many, many, many years, pretty much all through grade school, and then even into a little bit of junior high school. We were right there. And when she got, and she was a good person, and when she got sick towards the end of her days here in this earth, I asked the doctor if there was anything that they could take from me that would prolong her life. So I understand the idea of laying down your life for your friends, but I would do the same for Peg. There are a few other people that I know that I would do that for. But Jesus did it for people he didn't even know. They weren't even, you and me, we weren't even around then physically. We certainly were around there then in God's mind and even in Christ's mind. But he said, and so a lot of times friendships are conditional. But here, Jesus says that his friendship toward us is unconditional. We can't earn that. Because it says here that he showed his love, he showed God's love, that while we're yet sinners, he died for us. It's amazing. But Jesus, our friend, is also our Savior. Well, let's go back to the Gospel of John chapter 15. John 15, where it says in verse 14, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Would Chandler do whatsoever Joey told him to? No. Oh, there goes that pesky TV show again. Here we have Jesus as our Lord. And what does our Lord command us to do? Be perfect? No. Love. In fact, this section of scripture is all about how to abide in the vine, how to abide with God, how to abide with Jesus, vine and the branches. Chapter 15, verse 9 says, "That the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." See, maybe it's the word commandments. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's where we stumble, or maybe that's where I stumble. Is it the Ten Commandments? Is it all the law of the Old Testament? Is it all those of Leviticus? Is it all that? And Deuteronomy? Is it all that? Verse 11 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Well, I don't know about you, but there's not, for me, there's not a lot of joy in following rules and regulations. Peg will tell you, I don't even like using my turn signal. but there, Jesus is saying that if we continue in love, we will have joy. Verse 12 said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you." Man, it's that simple. Don't know why I cloud it. Don't know why I make it harder. And maybe that's something that inner healing will do for me, as it'll clear that out. But I have made this relationship with Jesus way too hard, way too legalistic. To be quite honest, the reason that is that because heretofore, these are the two characteristics of Christ as my Savior and my Lord. That's as far as I've really gotten in developing. As Savior, because I'm incredibly thankful for His sacrifice for me. Mostly for the payment of my sins and the consequences of my sins, past, present, and future, and for eternal access to our Father God. Then right behind that is my relationship with Him as my Lord, who directs my life to a better place. But this aspect of our relationship is clouded, it's marred by fear of reprisals, perhaps guilt for the things I've done, shame for the things I've done, and truthfully, some stubbornness, thinking that I don't necessarily want to do everything maybe that he's going to tell me to do. In fact, I'm so caught up in worrying about what He was going to tell me to stop doing that I wasn't hearing what He was telling me to do, which was to love. See, a lot of times I was putting all this other stuff in front of it. I was putting all these other traditions of man and rules and regulations and things that somebody told me or this and that. And He's just saying, love. I believe that this is part of the key to having this incredible friendship with Jesus. In fact, He said in those verses, there's supposed to be joy in my life, in my friendship with Him. Well, I don't know, if I look around, if there's not joy in my relationship with Jesus, something wrong. It's not on His part. It's not on God's part. It's certainly on my part. But a relationship with Jesus that's full of joy is something I've been looking forward to all my life. Back in John 15:15 says, "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I've heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Would Ross tell Rachel everything that he had heard from his father? No. Okay, no more from the TV show, I promise. Here we have Jesus, our best friend forever. In John 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15, says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Whatever the commandments again? Love God, love your neighbor also. Not all the other stuff, Chris. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide, that he may abide with you forever. And we know that he could be it because it's not a person. But he says he's going to give it to us. We're going to have this comforter, this one to walk beside us forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he dwells in you and dwells with you and shall be in you. This Spirit that will unite us inextricably, spiritually, forever with Jesus the Messiah. He will constantly be walking beside us, the Paraclete, the Comforter, side by side through life. In fact, it says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let me just keep reading here. But the Comforter, verse 26 of chapter 14, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Remember back in 15:15, it says, everything I've heard of the Father, I made known unto you. He does that through the Spirit, through the Comforter, through the Paraclete that walks beside us, side by side. Man, that's incredible. There's a Greek word, gnosko. It is the, in opposition to the oida, which is a mental knowing, mental assent. There's gnosko, which is an experiential knowledge, to know experiential, to see, hear, taste, touch, smell, spiritually experience something, some idea. In this case, some person, the person of Jesus, the Messiah. Our spirit helps us to do that. It makes the it is a spiritual connection with our Lord, with our Father. There's a Hebrew word, the counterpart to gnosko is yada. It's Y-A-D-A. And it is characterized by a loving fellowship. It is a communion between two lovers. It is intimate. It is quietly sensing each other's presence. It is being totally available. It is a strong desire to be together constantly. It is sharing everything. It is walking through life. It is a relationship, not rules. My mind and my heart melts. I'm so awed by a concept like this of a relationship. Certainly with a human, this would be incredible. And in a marriage, I think perhaps the closest we can get to this. But to have it with our Lord and Savior, the one who did so much for us already, my mind is blown away with this idea. And I'm so thankful for Peg sharing this with me. Let's go back over that because it's incredible to think about this. This relationship that we can have with our Lord and our Savior, the Messiah, can be characterized as a loving fellowship. It can be a communion between two lovers. It can be intimate. It can be quietly sensing each other's presence. We can be totally available. It can have a strong desire to be together constantly. It can be sharing everything. It is walking through life together. It is a relationship, not rules. When I think of God knowing everything all the time, all at once, that's wow. But Jesus said that he's not going to leave us comforted. He's going to be right there with us. He's going to come unto us. And so that means in my mind that he knows what's going on with me all the time. But it is different for me anyway, when I think about him knowing everything that I'm experiencing and me actually saying it. Sometimes there are times I'm driving down the road and I'll just think, man, I could really, in the past, I could really go for a really good friend that I could share anything with. And the thought is, well, you can share with me. I said, well, you already know everything. He said, well, go ahead and tell me anyway. And I have, and it's really kind of strange how I feel when I do that. But I want to do that more. I really want to have an arm in arm, arm around arm, shoulder around shoulder, walking down the street, hanging out with Jesus kind of relationship. And I know that the only thing that, the only cost, the only price that I have to pay, the only thing I have to invest in this to obtain this relationship is time. I just have to spend time with them. I just have to get quiet. Listen to him. I just have to be honest and share my heart with him. I just have to talk to him like I would talk to a friend. I'm jealous of those who have this kind of relationship. I live with a woman who spends quite a bit of time talking with Jesus, spending time with him, literally, spiritually spending time with him in different places, in different realms. And she'll share with me often. And while I am celebrating and encouraging and clapping and applauding her time with the Lord, part of me inside is going, man, that would really be cool if I could do that. Well, Peg doesn't have the market cornered on fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. She just invests that which we all could invest if we got honest, and that's more time with him. In fact, in Proverbs 18, in verse 24, it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You know, it's not fair to say that Jesus Christ isn't your friend if you're not being friendly towards him. You know what I mean? Well, I know what I mean, because I read this verse. I was like, man, Chris, have you been friendly towards Jesus? Well, I haven't spent a lot of time with him, as much time as I could. Put other things in front of him. At times, I don't think he wants to talk to me because I haven't spent time with him. See that insane circle there? That dog chasing his tail kind of thinking? Well, anyway, in verse 24, it goes on to say, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I don't know there's a man around that hasn't wanted a friend that's closer than a brother. Maybe women too. I don't know. I'm not a woman. But if I were to ask, I've asked the boys where I work what they look for in friends, what the most important thing, and overwhelmingly, they said honesty, loyalty, and always being there. And you know something? Those are Jesus Christ. He's always honest. He's always there. And he's always loyal. In Hebrews, please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. It says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, without believing that I can have, or that we can, you can have, or that we can have a relationship with our Lord, our Messiah, our Savior, Jesus, it's impossible to have it. And it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, what, follow all the rules, keep all the laws, don't break any of the traditions. No, it says, rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently connotes action. It connotes commitment. It connotes continual work or continual effort. Work may scare you off, but effort, diligently, not here and there, not a whole lot one day and none the next day. What's that saying? Apple a day keeps the doctor away. But you know something? 30 apples in one day is not the same thing. Every day, start out small. Start out a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and grow it. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I've been doing. Not I'm going to do it. I've been doing now since this stuff hit me. But I know this verse talks about God, but I believe the same thing is toward Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, when you read Paul's writings, it was his fellowship with God and his fellowship with Jesus Christ. You know, he's always like, boom, boom, boom. I'm here. I'm with them. I'm with both of them. They're hanging out. They're fellowshipping together. Peace from God and from our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ. All the books open up like that, most of them. A diligent effort to seek him, to spend time with him. Spend time with God, our Father, and with our Lord, Messiah. Go back, please, to John chapter 15. Bringing this home. Remember, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Jesus is our Savior that laid down his life for us. He is our Lord that wants us to live love continually, and he is our best friend forever that is always with us. My trainer said that I should start each day with a purpose. Well, now my purpose is to have a yada relationship with my friend Jesus. Which means I won't have any time to binge watch Friends on Netflix. Heavenly Father, I praise you. I thank you for the relationship that you've made available with our Lord Jesus Christ and with you. I thank you for helping us to lay down anything that would get in between that. That you would lay down any thoughts, any whatever, that would help us to get it out of the way so that we can have a yada relationship with Jesus and with you. I praise you and I thank you. Amen.